For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
Adjacent.
You're listening to the Sports Adjacent.
Okay, I like that. I just learned something new today. Adjacent.
With Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey on the House of L Network.
We're doing everything I dreamed of as an adjacent.
Russ, do you notice that Tony looks like he's sitting in a Pier 1 catalog?
I know he at his girl house.
That means he's not at his house, yes. Pier 1 doesn't exist anymore, actually. I think.
He be over there. Look, I said the last two pods ago that he was over there spending the night. He got his little toothbrush over there now.
I will not besmirch the name of my lady love. I will not sully her name in the streets. I am not spending the night.
What's sullying her? You're her boyfriend. Like, it's not sullying. It's quite acceptable in the streets. It's actually smiled upon in the streets.
I do feel like Tony spends more than half of his time. More than half of his awake time there anyway.
I told him that's why he should just bring in a microphone over there so he could record the pod over there. Because I know that's where he's going to be 90% of the time. So just bring the snowball over and you're good.
We actually had a nice dinner. Made chicken wraps with bell peppers and onions. It was very tasty.
I highly doubt you've cooked anything like that before. I want to know what all has changed here. What are the things you've started doing or pretended to like over the last 6 to 9 months?
I've gotten acquainted a little bit more with spicy foods.
Tony hates spicy food, so that's one way that you know he's pretending. This is good. Uh-oh. As he sweats down the side of his face.
She only gives me a little bit here and there.
We all do that when we're in this serious dating phase. We all pretend to like stuff that we don't.
Well, you got to inform the listeners of like your girl's ethnicity so they can understand better.
Oh yeah, she's Indian, so spiciness is like baseline for a lot of their food, but they work around me sometimes, and I appreciate that.
Much like on this show, we have to work around you quite a bit. Welcome to Sports Adjacent. I'm Jason Leisure with my co-host, Russ Dorsey. Tony Gill, live from his girlfriend's house, is producing tonight. And we are brought to you by Obvious Shirts, as we have been throughout this voyage.
Yes, we have.
You can get on Obvious Shirts right now, and they already have free shipping. That's fantastic. But you can also get 10% off by using promo code ADJACENT10. And Russ, right now, I'm just looking through some of their shirts. These are the ones that are most popular right now. Play Like Jordan, Party Like Rodman is a hot seller right now.
Very popular.
I still call it the Sears Tower. That's a classic. I like that one. Holy Cow, that's a good one. They've got some Soldier Fields shirts. Those are pretty popular too right now because of Justin Fields and the Bears. So go over to Obvious Shirts and use our promo code ADJACENT10. You can also get this shirt. Everybody Loves Tony Gill, one of their hottest sellers. Sold out right away. They had to get a second wave of it. Tony, what else has changed since you've started dating your girlfriend? What else are you pretending to like? I don't want to paint this as though you're being a total fraud right now, because I'm sure that you're not. But there are some ways in which you're kind of like more willing to let yourself like something or try to make yourself like something than you would normally be.
No. No,
tell me a TV show that you've been forced to watch and you're like, oh yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Actually, like, she doesn't watch a lot of TV, so I have to come up with a lot of suggestions. Like, she comes up with a lot of like good documentaries. that we watch.
Yeah, right.
Like,
right. Because she's
the Bob Ross documentary.
Oh, the painter. Yeah.
Yeah. I heard that was good.
That was really good. Enjoyed that. I have been taking a lot more showers.
Jeez. All right.
I mean, that's good.
Russell, look, I mean,
hygiene to improve.
If your girl, if having a woman in your life has improved your hygiene, God bless, man. Like, that's great.
I was not aware your hygiene was in a bad place before this.
You've never spelled bad, like, when we've been around.
No, I'm a generally clean guy. Like,
It don't sound like it.
No. How often are you showering now versus how often were you showering?
Well, it was like, all right, the morning showers were the given, right?
Not for everyone. Really? I can't leave my house without taking a shower in the morning.
Yeah.
Not everybody's like that. Plenty of people shower at night. In fact, plenty of people, if you only shower once a day, would say you should shower at night because you've gotten filth on yourself all day.
Right.
That's the time and that, hours at the end of the
that's day. What I do more often now is the night showers, because usually I'm like, I'm sleepy. I'll just go to sleep. I'll wake up, take a shower. Yeah. But now I do the two a days. You're familiar with the two a days.
I think you're stretching this to make it sound good. I think you previously did not shower every day. I think that's where this started.
Tony seems like one of those, I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going to take a shower. He's 100% that guy.
Oh, I think so.
Tony. I am that guy.
He's sitting in his own filth.
There it is.
That's nasty, Tony.
What's the most days you guys would go without a shower?
Ooh, that's a good question.
So yeah,
during, it has to have happened.
So during lockdown, Tony, you were not showering every day.
Oh no.
Ugh, stanking ass over there.
I was at the crib.
He's just in his room.
That's nasty.
I was at the crib.
Absolutely not.
I agree with Russ because I want to smell good for my own sake.
Right.
I'm going to be around anyone or not, but it does happen. There are times. There are times, it's very rare, but there are times when I might go a day or two without showering.
Yeah,
for one reason or another.
We're all a family here. People that are listening.
No, this is a safe space.
Like, we could be real. Like,
that has never happened to you, Russ. There's never been a time where you're like, just didn't take a shower that day.
Sure, but it's not a regular thing. Like,
Hold on, it was for you, Tony. Yeah,
I think it was for you.
Yeah, I think that was like part of your routine.
Like yours just stopped over the last couple of months. I'm saying
No. You guys aren't going to disparage me. I am a clean person.
You
guys
are going to disparage you.
You disparage I'm a clean yourself. Person.
Tony, you said you didn't wash your ass during quarantine.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was different though.
Tony, I was looking for something like that you would say like, oh, now I read books. You know, because it impresses my girlfriend. Or
I take a shower and wash myself.
Yeah, now I appreciate fine art. Or now I go to museums. When you say I shower more, that implies that at some point you needed to shower more and weren't.
Debatable.
No, it's not.
Yeah,
not unless you live in the woods where there aren't showers and you just have to wait for it to rain. I guess
I'm actually saving the environment. Actually, I'm saving water.
You and all these stanky celebrities that don't wash themselves can go somewhere because
I care about the planet
and the amount of body spray it would take to cover that up. I don't think you're helping the environment.
Oh, that's gross.
Russ, I'm not saying this happens to a normal person. Tony's gonna have to, like, Tony's in a separate category, but I'm not saying this happens to a normal person often, but there have been times where it's like, for whatever reason, I didn't get to shower in the morning, which is rare for me because I got to start my, even if I'm going to be working in the yard all day, it's like I just have this hang up where like, I can't start my day without a shower, but sometimes you haven't for whatever reason. And you get to the end of the day and it's like, I'm just tired. It's 1 a.m. I got to go to sleep. I'm not getting in the shower. So maybe in that case, and maybe that would happen like 2 days in a row. Maybe like at max 2 days without a shower.
The worst thing to me is I don't like the idea of getting in the bed dirty is gross to me.
True.
Like getting into the bed with the day's dirt on you and sweat and all, especially in the summertime.
Yeah.
Like as much as like your body naturally sweats, even if you don't feel it all the time, like there's a lot of sweat on you. So to have that in your bed, that seems nasty to me. So sometimes it's like no matter how tired I am, I gotta get the day's funk off of me.
Okay. So are you showering twice a day typically?
Oh, in the summertime, minimum twice a day. I've had some three shower days in the summer.
Well, I could imagine that you would because take a lot of showers actually. Now that I think
also, well, and why is that, Jason?
Well, I just think that? You know you're very active.
I do work out a lot. I work out 6 days a week. I am an active person.
Couple times a day. Sometimes right. At different gyms, probably.
Next on Sports Adjacent this week.
Russ, you're like young, single, cool, very vibrant social life. What's in your shower?
My shower is lit, bro. I actually get compliments on the amenities in my shower. So I have a lemon.
Some friends who come by and just peek in the shower. Sure.
I mean, it depends on who stops by. I have a lemon body wash.
Okay.
That I use. It's highly rated. Okay. I have natural curly hair. So I have a lot of natural products, no sulfate, all that other stuff that is in your, like, in shampoo and conditioners that you don't want. So I have a lot of really good hair care products, conditioners, shampoos, gels, or not gels, oils, things like that.
Yeah. Use a body wash, not a bar of soap.
Is a bar of soap
for old people now? Is that how that works? Or
yeah, don't.
Yeah, don't use bars of soap.
I don't. Mm-hmm. So you know, don't worry. Everything's fine.
We were concerned.
No, I don't, because I just don't like it. I prefer body wash, but I didn't know if there was really a difference, if there's like a one demographic for body wash, one demographic for bar soap, anything like that. I didn't know.
So, yeah, I have that. I have one of those like mats so you don't crack your head on the side of the sink in the shower.
Yeah.
I have one of those. But it's like black stone.
The mat?
Yeah. Oh,
are you talking about a separate item?
No, it looks like the mat looks like black stones on the floor of the shower.
Gotcha.
And so then I have two showers. So one's connected to my bedroom, and then there's one in the hallway is the larger bathroom.
Two showers in your apartment?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So yeah, try to keep both showers stocked.
Yeah. What's the weirdest thing in your shower? Do you have like a loofah?
I have one of those gloves, exfoliation gloves.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
I have one of those, but I only use them once.
Yeah,
because I think it's weird. Because I'm like, ugh, it has dirt on it already.
Right, it needs to be washed. Yeah.
So I bought five of them.
Okay.
And, you know, so it's just like you can rotate and then wash, and you won't feel like obligated to use the same one. So yeah, that's probably the weirdest thing.
I keep one of those rocks in the shower that you use to like scrub to exfoliate your foot.
Oh, the pumice stone?
Thank you. Pumice stone. That's what it's called. And I had one that was like gray or white or stone colored, a light color, whatever it was. And my wife made me throw it out because she said there were these spots of black mold on it. I thought, you know, you're probably right. But to solve that problem going forward, I bought one that's like black. So now she won't be able to tell. Problem solved. Now I don't have to keep buying new pumice stones.
You over there with moldy feet?
Yeah, Tony. I'm going to ask you a personal question here. Do you have at your house? Do you have your own shower, or is someone else also using that shower?
No.
Do you have a shower that's designated only for you?
No.
Okay. Mm-mm. So how much? Multiple people are using the shower. How much stuff is in there?
It's quite amount, but we take our own stuff.
You have like a caddy. Like everybody comes in with their own caddy. Okay.
So it's like college at your house.
Yeah. Well, the main point of this goes without saying, Russ, is that he needs to move out.
Yes.
Like yesterday.
Yes.
But anyway, so the shower is, you have to carry your own stuff to and from like you're in a dorm. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what do you take in there with you?
Well, I got my facial washes.
You have multiple facial washes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm with Tony. Yeah, I have a couple of
face washes. Why do you need more than one face wash? Don't they all do the same thing?
Incorrect. See, that's why you have bad skin.
Okay.
Nah. You got one that cleans, you know. Sometimes you want to exfoliate. You're not supposed to exfoliate every day.
Mm-hmm. Let this man know, Tony.
Well, that's the one I have, is the one that has, it's like orange and it has these scrubby things in it, so it exfoliates.
Not every day.
Wow.
No, okay. You dry your face out.
Raw and dry.
Yeah. Good, you dry your face out and it'll be like, yeah, super raw and sensitive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it depends on what day it is. I'm going to exfoliate.
How do you keep track of that? Do you have like a calendar?
You just kind of like, did I do it already?
Freestyle it.
You just kind of keep a running tab in your head of like, okay. I've exfoliated a little much lately. Got it. All right, what else you got, Tony? Multiple face washes.
I have my my body washes. I'm a fan of Harry's. Harry's body wash. Like, it's more masculine, more natural.
They have a good line of products.
Yeah, then like the perfumey, you know, like Old Spice ones. I like the natural, you know, scents. I think it works better with me. And then if it's shampoo day, I'll have my shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep track of that same way I keep track of exfoliate. And then I got my back washer, scratcher
loofah thing. That's what the loofah is. Yeah.
Got my face towel. Got my body towel.
Okay.
I got my dry off towel.
Okay, a lot of towels.
And, man, can't cross contaminate the towels, man.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
I'm with Tony on this so far.
Yeah.
He's doing well. For a guy who don't wash his ass, he's doing very well.
Right. Yes. So what we've learned is that Russ, he knows how to properly shower.
Correct, but he just doesn't do it.
Often does not.
It took taking, oh, this girl cares about me. I'm going to wash myself.
Now, she needs to be asking the same questions we're asking, because she needs to know if, like, you know, day after the wedding, this all reverts back to pandemic Tony.
No, it's different when it's just you.
Pandemic Tony,
you just by yourself. Versus, like, I mean, let's be real, guys. Like, women make men want to be better. Like, just
sure. Yes.
Like,
okay.
Women are the motivation to any successful man. Like, people like it, that's.
I was gonna say, let's take it out of a heteronormative sense.
Let's
like
go with this
people, if you have somebody that you care about romantically, mm-hmm. you're gonna want to be better. Let's say that.
Yeah, that thing.
That's like what my kids say when we make them apologize. When one of my kids says something like disrespectful to one of us, we'll be like, no, what you should have said is, and they'll go. That's what Tony just did, dude.
Look, listen, man, we have a wide demographic of people listening to this podcast, and we are inclusive here at Sports Jason.
Why don't you just talk about your own life, Tony? You have a significant other, so now all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you know, you give a damn about how you look and smell.
Yeah,
I'm happy for him. Like, I think that's great.
Go from there. I mean, you go ahead and finish your thought.
Oh, no, that was it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Just name this episode, and he stared at my meat.
The meat peak. No, this should be called the meat peak.
Are we doing this now?
There were more than peaks. So before I go to Dallas,
you are at Midway. We've said,
I'm at Midway here in town in Chicago.
You're about to leave?
I'm about to leave, and I'm like, yo, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick so I don't have to go on the plane.
Yeah, it's not pleasant going on the plane.
No, because I don't like getting up. I'd rather take a nap or do work or whatever.
Last time I was on the plane, by the way, and I had to go, it was the first time I'd flown in a year and a half. I forgot to lock the door. I just totally forgot. I hadn't done it in like a year and a half. I forgot. You got to, like, you know, unfortunately, nobody came and interrupted, but.
Well, that's not my story. So I go to the bathroom. And I go to hella urinals at airport bathrooms. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's like 10.
Yeah.
So many people coming in and out.
Now, do they have dividers, or are they just all stacked?
No, no dividers. They're stacked, right?
All right.
So this, you know, urinals. And I'm going to let, for everybody out there that don't go into men's bathrooms, like, if there's no divider, you kind of got to get close on, up on it to make sure that nobody takes unwanted peeks at your meat, right?
Well, yes, and you're probably trying to avoid, you know, any kind of even accidental peek, either direction.
Correct. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it's like, just for privacy and decency's sake, like, I'm not going to stand like back so everybody who comes in the bathroom can see.
Right. Right? It's so, not a locker room.
Right. So I, at this moment, there's nobody around me and there's nobody in there. So I'm like, I wasn't maximum closeness to the urinal. Right. But I was still relatively close.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, a dude comes and stands at the urinal next to me, which is a party foul in and of itself. Wait a
second. You're saying there's like 10 of these things and he stands
there. Right, 10 urinals and he stands at the urinal next to me.
Okay.
I have a big issue with this.
Yeah. What First do you of all, doing? What do you even doing?
Big personal space guy.
Sure. But at and that it's point, like, you're midstream. You can't move.
I'm not cutting it off and going, my man, please. There's 10 other, there's 9 other urinals that you can go to. You don't have to stay.
It seems very aggressive. It seems very intentional.
It's, and look, this is not even the intentional part. So I'm now looking up, looking straight ahead as you're supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
All of a sudden.
And I stare into the bricks. Yeah.
All of a sudden, in my peripheral, the guy's on my left. In my left eye, I see the guy peek over and look down at my meat.
Oh, no. how do you know that's
what like I was looking at, though? With my left eye, someone
some dude staring at my meat. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just like, there's so many thoughts going through my mind. I'm just like, do I stop and say, yo, my man, what are you doing? Do I look ahead like I don't notice this dude staring at my meat right now?
It was that long. I'm sorry. The stare lasted that long. The guy's peep lasted that long that there was no mistaking what he was doing.
There was no mistaking what he was doing.
It was clear. It was an extended peek.
And so now I'm trying to like
by the guy
shoot this joint out so I can like get away and like put everything away and go wash my hands. We're going to get the heck out of there.
Yeah.
But then, like, he stares at it, it felt like for a year.
Okay.
And then he looks up at me and then turns his head straight ahead. I was so flustered.
Yeah.
I finished, didn't even say anything.
Proud of you.
Washed my hands, got to the gate. Because I'm just like, I can't do this right now.
Go ahead, Tone.
Well, all right, that he probably did for one or two reasons, right?
He
just wanted to see if it was true or not, you know?
Tony, oh my God.
Oh, Tony. Okay. All right, so Tony won't fault him for his curiosity. Okay.
And then the other reason is, you know, maybe he wanted a sandwich, you know?
What does that mean?
Maybe he wanted some meat.
Are you saying something that we're going to have you bleep out again?
No. Maybe he wanted some meat, right? And he was bold enough to stare at you. And then
but Tony, it wasn't just a peek. Like, if he had peeked and looked up, like, he didn't do anything, that's one thing. But he, like, peeked for a good 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. It felt like longer, but probably in 2 seconds. Looked, peeked. But it's the second look up at me after looking at it.
Yeah,
that's where I have the issue.
Yeah, that's the boldness factor. He's like, what you going to do about it? And what you do?
Okay.
Who was more of a man that day?
Him, probably.
What a question.
And what you going to do about it, bro?
Of course, Tony would take up for the guy. Two things.
You're right, dude. Sexually harassed me in the bathroom.
I'm not picking up for him. I'm just saying.
Oh my gosh.
Trying to understand.
Jason, I want your perspective now.
Well, two things. One, so there were no words exchanged whatsoever between you.
Zero words exchanged. I didn't want to speak to the dude at all.
I admire that you, in the midst of your panic and fleeing, still took the
wash
time
my hands?
To wash your hands. Yeah,
that's what you're supposed to.
I know,
that's
but I'd be like, I'd be running out of there and be like, I mean, if your house is burning down while you're going to the bathroom, you're not going to stop and wash your hands. You'd be like, I'll get to that later.
I hear you. I just like, it's a quick soap, water. I didn't throw the paper towel away in the bathroom. Like, I like kind of just took it with me. And
I'll deal with this later.
I'll deal with it later.
You're kind of garbage can. Ride paper towel.
Right.
Right. Yes. I'm not a fan of interactions in the bathroom whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
None. And actually just recently had this happen. Well, not exactly that happened, but do you ever use the stalls to pee if it's like
it's crowded?
If it's crowded, or sometimes the urinals are not set up in a way that the urinals are set up for an accident.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Or just to avoid awkwardness. And so actually Tony and I were at a restaurant the other day and we both went into the bathroom at the same time. And I'm like, I'm just going to go in the stall. And Tony's at the urinal, and we're both doing what you do in that situation. And Tony just goes through the door, goes, "So what do you think about something about a major topic that we've been discussing?" And it's like, this is a weird place for me to have this conversation, Tony.
Tony, that's wild, bro.
Yeah, I don't.
No wonder you're taking up for the dude that looked at my penis for 5 seconds.
I'm in there and I'm just like, it's great, Tone. It's great. And I just need to get through this because I don't talk to people in the bathroom usually.
Not even you that I love.
No, correct. Yes. Yeah. I was so caught off guard by someone trying to talk to me in the bathroom, even somebody that I knew very well. A lot of bathrooms in Wrigley Field is famous for this, are set up where there's not a lot of privacy.
Listen, man, all I know is I felt a way.
Yeah. I mean,
was I wrong? Am I wrong for feeling this way?
No, I understand being, feeling uncomfortable and maybe even feeling a little violated by that. I mean, how long did it take you to feel normal again?
I was on the flight still thinking about it. And then I'm just like, yo, I can't believe what just happened. But it wasn't the peak, dude. Like, that's the crazy part.
No, it was the eye contact.
It wasn't the peak. It was the fact that he looked and then looked up at me for a few seconds. And then look straight ahead like a serial killer.
You want to know where dude was coming from? Like, hey, what are we doing here, bro? Like, what is that? Like, you don't want to ask a question?
No, I didn't. No, I'm not. I wasn't even curious. You going in bathrooms looking at dudes' meat, bro?
No.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not.
It doesn't sound accidental in this case.
No, it wasn't. Yeah. Especially after it's the look up at me.
Well, everything about this story screams that it was flagrant, starting with the very beginning.
Mad flagrant.
There's 10 urinals and he picks the one.
10 urinals.
Yeah, that's troubling. I actually wanted to talk about airports today because the FAA put out a report about a lot of the incidents. I don't know if this has seemed this way to you, but to me, it's like everybody's acting up at airports. It's like we talked about a while back about basketball games, about people doing egregious things at basketball games. It's all every day. It seems like there's some issue on a plane or on the airport or in the airport. And if you feel like that, your eyes are not lying to you, because the FAA put out a report today. These are the year to date numbers, Russ, on the following incidents. These are accurate as of September 7th, 4,184 unruly passenger reports.
It's a lot.
I mean, what does that come out to per month? Like 500?
That's a lot of that's like just and it's like, why, bro?
Yeah. 3,057 mask related incidents. Not a surprise at all, even though I find this one like continually puzzling to me, because you have to, when you check in, you have to check a box saying, I understand that federal law says I have to wear a mask. Like, it doesn't matter if you like it or anybody likes it. It's standard. And it's been that way for a year and a half. Here's the number that I really want to hit you with. These are the number of investigations initiated. So you have complaints. The FAA will get complaints. And some of it's like, hey, this person wouldn't comply with whatever. This person wouldn't wear a mask. This person was rude. It can be minor and not rise to the level where they actually launch an investigation. So this number that I'm about to give you is the number of incidents that have risen to the level where they're like, we got to actually start a case over this. So I'm going to tell you how many there were in previous years. 2017, there were 91 of these incidents for the year. 2018, 159. 2019, 146. 2020, 183. for the year. In the first 8 months of 2021, 752 investigations initiated.
It's wild, man.
I'll tell you, charts.
Like, I've been traveling for 6 months now, since baseball and since spring training. And I've seen three, just on flights I've been on, I've seen three people get kicked off.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I'd never seen a person get kicked off in my life before this year.
I've probably seen that once. Yeah.
So what you're saying, it makes sense considering that many people, you know, have gotten reports on them.
You can be fined $37,000 for violating the policy of you're not allowed to attack or interfere with the duties of any kind of crew member or anybody involved with boarding the plane, things like that. And $37,000, you can be fined. You can have multiple violations on the same incident. So you could be walking away with six figures in fines for some trouble that you're starting on a plane when you know the rules before you ever even get there. What I find particularly annoying about this, as we like continue now in, what are we in, year three or year two of fighting over masks, which is just the most insane thing to me that we could be fighting over and politicizing, is that the people, the anti-mask people, they think they're doing something. They think they're heroes. They think they're like George Washington and Alexander Hamilton riding into
Paul Revere.
Yes. It's crazy to me. I saw that I was at Jewel the other day, and Jewel now, like everywhere else in Illinois, is you got to wear a mask, vaccinated or not. And I don't know how many times I can say this to people. Nobody likes wearing a mask. I don't like wearing a mask. I don't know anyone that likes wearing a mask. I am happy to get that thing off the second that I'm outside or the second I get out of work or whatever. But I'll wear it if I gotta wear it. I'll wear it if it's helping and if it's protecting me and others. But you go into Jewel and there's people, occasional people not wearing a mask. And what is the manager at Jewel supposed to do? At least the flight attendants and the gate agents and everything for the airlines have the recourse of the federal laws behind them. And if you mess around on an airplane in any way, you're gonna be in trouble. No matter what it is. So if you want to start trouble over a mask, or if you want to grope someone like the guy did on the plane from Philly to Miami on Frontier, or you want to, like, you know, verbally assault a flight attendant, it's not going to go well for you. It's a little different at Jewel when it comes to masks, because what's the manager supposed to do? I mean, some manager or some clerk is going to confront someone that's clearly there, fighting for freedom, not wearing a mask. I saw this guy and it was like, I could tell just from looking at him exactly the kind of guy he was. And I don't advise judging people by how they look, but this guy had all the calling cards at Jewel and was not wearing a mask. And he either saw someone he knew or just started up a conversation with somebody about why he was not wearing a mask. And I'm in and out of Jewel. I don't know about you guys, but like, I go to the grocery store and it's efficient. I know what I'm getting. I get out of there.
Right.
It's 20 minutes or less for me. The entire time I was in this Jewel, though, I passed by the guy a couple of times and he's still going on and on and on about it. I'm waiting for someone to confront me about it. I'm like, dude, you're not a patriot. You're not out here fighting for freedom, or you're not a hero.
No.
And I kept thinking, like, maybe I know that we shouldn't do this, but I kind of want to match that energy. I kind of want to, like, all of us who are doing like the same logical, helpful thing, selfless things. I kind of want to, like, match that aggression that the anti-mask people have, where, like, maybe I'll get a mask that says, like, because they like to wear ones that say, like, this mask is as useless as our governor, or what, I'm only wearing this mask because I have to, or whatever. Maybe I'll get one that says, I'm wearing this mask because I'm not a selfish piece of shit. How about that?
I'm with that. I'm with it. Avi shirts. We gotta get on that.
Yeah.
So did he look at the whole meat or just like the piece of the meat?
My whole meat, Tony. My whole meat.
Just the tip, Tony.
Yeah. our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Did you see on Max Kellerman's final first take? I don't ever watch first take. I know that everybody says that, and it's not true because they get loads of viewers, but I really don't. I think it's on in the mornings, and I'm usually getting ready for work and going to work in the morning. So
right.
I actually have never seen it other than if I happen to catch a few minutes of it in like the hotel gym or something.
Or a clip on Twitter.
Yes. Those pop around sometimes. And the one, that's how I saw this, where Max Kellerman's final show, I had no idea he was leaving until I saw this. Stephen A. couldn't be there in person for some reason, but popped on by
phone. Via phone?
Yes, right. Literally phoning it in, telling Max Kellerman how much he respects him and loves him and how much, what a great time it was working with him. I didn't know until I read an article after that, that Stephen A. pushed him off that cliff.
Yeah, I saw. I had
Stephen
read
A. been
something.
Trying for years to get him out of there.
Yeah, I just think the show needs to die. Like, we don't need people yelling at each other about some horrendous sports takes anymore. Like, I think we're in an era and a society where fans are as smart as they've ever been, and they deserve responsible, smart coverage. Should that be entertaining? Sure, I'm with that. But I think you can get responsible coverage. You can get good analysis that's also entertaining. I think there's a lot of different platforms that do it well. I just don't think that format does it anymore. And yeah, I had heard the same thing that you read, that like Max and Stephen A. and like, not that it was beef, but like, he kind of wanted like this. Like, it's not like he wants Magic on there, and they had Michael Irvin on there. Let me tell you, I'm cool on that either. Like, I'm not watching, so I don't care what they do. But
when you said Magic, did you mean Magic Johnson?
Correct.
Oh, he's not going to be good on that.
And then they have you seen his Twitter?
That's what I was just about to ask you, is if you've ever read any of Magic Johnson's tweets. Magic Johnson will tweet like in the middle of any NBA season, the front runners for MVP right now, and he'll list 30 people. He'll start typing names until he runs out of characters.
He'll say LeBron James is the best player in basketball because of his high basketball IQ and passing ability. And it's like, yo, Magic, we knew that, bro.
Yes, everything. That could be the reply to his Twitter account. His handle could be at we knew that, bro.
Yes.
Now, what you're describing, though, what you're saying about what fans want, I don't know if you're right. Because when you think of the talking head types, the guys that have opinions on ESPN, Max Kellerman is thought of as one of the more next level thinkers, a guy that really does not as much do hot takes.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy Max, and I enjoyed Max more before he got on First Take when he was on with Marcellus Wiley, Michelle Beadle on Sports Nation. I thought that's where he flourished because he didn't feel forced. And it was two other people he could work off of, and it was entertaining and it was fun. And they gave you like cool and out, like it was cool. It was one of the best shows that they had on ESPN. Then they forced them into pigeonholed them in the First Take, which is probably more money for him, and it's probably a promotion, but it forced him to say, okay, now I got to come up with hot takes. When that man got on that set and said, if the aliens had the death ray pointed at Earth and they needed to make 1-3, he'd have Andre Iguodala shoot over Steph Curry. Come on, bro. Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
Okay, but there's like 1,000 things that Stephen A. has said that are crazier than that.
But no, that's insane. Like, you not that's the best shooter in the history of the game, but you'd rather have Andre Iguodala with the world on the line. You'd rather have him shoot a three than Steph Curry. Come on, man.
We basically already had that scenario play out with Space Jam, where Michael Jordan saved the world from the aliens, from the Monstars. So we're already good.
Nah, if you asked Max, he would have had Andre Iguodala do it.
I mean, I never thought Max fit in with that show. It's a wrestling show. It's a wrestling show. And I think people do like it. I mean, it's one of their highest, you know, rated properties on ESPN. So I think there's something to that. I think people do enjoy that part. But Max, he was just too nuanced for that show. And for that show, it didn't work. And he should have saw this kind of coming when there were rumors when Skip Bayless's contract was up at Fox and Stephen A. wanted Skip back. And then Skip just kind of used that to his advantage to get a bigger salary at Fox, which is kudos to him. But I stopped hating that style of show because people watch it and people want stuff like that.
Popular.
It's a part of the entertainment factor. Like, I can make the argument it's the smartest show on television because they know how ridiculous they are, but they know you'll watch it. So that people are going to watch because of the ridiculousness and the yelling, where it's borderline, but not even borderline, cartoonish.
Yes.
I think they know what they're doing. I think they know in some part they're playing into the characters a bit, but everybody's making money. So it's like, hey, whatever.
You know what I think the nasty part about it is for me, as a journalist, to watch somebody who built their career as a respectable journalist go on every day and do that, it feels so nasty.
He's the highest paid employee at ESPN.
I get all of that. And like, God bless.
He's a year into a 5-year, $60 million deal. But Russ, most of the audience are not journalists. Mm-hmm. They're not looking at it with that kind of perception like you are.
How I feel watching a guy that took himself from being the lowest journalist on the totem pole to being one of the best reporters and columnists in the country, to being as a black man, being one of the highest paid, the highest paid employee at ESPN and on every possible platform. I think that's awesome. But to see that person who did all that, build up that much credibility, to then turn around and be a caricature of himself, that just feels like that's not the way the story is supposed to end. You know, in his mind, his pockets are good. He probably like, bro, I'm chilling.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I look at it as like, yo, you're the reason a lot of us got into this business doing it the right way. And to see him like do this now, it's kind of like, yuck.
He was great as a columnist. I don't know if you're even old enough to have been reading that. But like 20 years ago when he was still writing actual columns, he was really gifted writer. I don't think he writes anything anymore, if I'm not mistaken. The whole debate show, I think, started with PTI and then kind of expanded into Around the Horn. And then eventually you got this. There was something in the middle. What is it? Morning Pizza or something like that?
Cold Pizza, yeah.
Cold Pizza. But, I mean, this is kind of a like mutated version of what PTI was. And if you look back through it now, PTI was groundbreaking at the time, but it looks almost like like they're doing it in a library now compared.
Right. Like PTI to me doesn't feel like the the entertainment factory that First Take is, right? Yes. It's Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon talking about sports in a way that's not overly outrageous. There's logical points made. There are not many hot takes. You know what I'm saying? So
it's a legitimate discussion.
And like,
it's a legitimate discussion. It's how I think you and I would discuss something if we were sitting in my driveway or something like that. Not in the way that Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith do it.
Right.
But let me ask you this. You're a sophisticated viewer, and you would probably you look at this and anything else in a more discerning way than other people because you're in the media. Not necessarily because you're smarter than other people, but because you're in the media. And so you really understand this business in a way that 99.9% of the viewers do not. Even that being said, do you sometimes flip this on and sit there and watch it for 15, 20 minutes because you, without even realizing it ever?
No, the only time I see what they talk about is when a clip pops up on my timeline. Like, I can honestly say I haven't sat down to watch First Take in years upon years upon years.
What about you, Tone?
I haven't sat down and watched First Take in a long time. But I do watch the clips if there's something, you know, a topic that is kind of gone, you know, viral. I do still
like every clip I've ever seen has either been, and it's very few, but it's been Stephen A's phone in farewell to Max Kellerman, Stephen A saying something offensive that he has to apologize for, or it's just everybody yelling at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell what's going on.
Do you know what I don't like seeing on Twitter?
Probably a lot of things, but no, I couldn't guess what it would be in this case.
No, you're definitely correct. There's a lot of things, but
yeah,
I
would have started guessing with racism.
That's bad. Yeah. Don't like seeing the N-word. That's unless you're Tony, who loves, like, it cracks him up seeing it. But we live in a social media era where everything has to be put on social. And we've gotten to this point where now if you're a high school athlete and you get a scholarship offer from a school, you have to announce to the world that you've gotten a scholarship offer from a school.
Yeah.
But why is that important? Like,
important than any other thought though?
Why announce it? Like, that's something to be proud of for sure. But if you're one of these five-star recruits that have 30 offers, we don't have to hear, I'm blessed to announce that I've gotten an offer from Michigan State. Thanks to everybody who got me here. And I have to see that every week for the next 52 weeks.
I don't get why you're hating on this. These are high school kids. They're happy about the offers that they're getting. This is a weird stance by you.
Is it? Just like,
you're a person who puts your thoughts on social media too.
Yeah, but it's not to, like, I don't put everything on there. Like, if I get a two job offer, I've never put a job offer on social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm excited to announce, I'm blessed to announce that the Chicago Sun-Times is offering me X amount of dollars to come write about the Chicago. I didn't do that. Like, I just don't think, I think you should get these offers. You should feel great.
Act like you've been there before, kids.
I don't want to seem like old man, but like,
you do sound like an old man.
But mm-hmm. I just, like, why do we have to? I'm all for social media and kids expressing themselves on social, but like, yo, bro, I don't have to hear about your 50 offers to D1 schools where you're gonna go pro and you're going to the NFL. Like, yo, just say you're going to Alabama and we can just we're excited to see you on Saturdays, bro.
We do it all the time when we change jobs. It's the kid version of that. I'm announcing I'm attending this school.
I think Russ draws a distinction between that and the offers.
If you say, yo, I'm blessed to announce that I will be attending the University of Alabama to play defensive end and go to the NFL.
Right.
Salute, God bless, bro, and I'm excited for you. I'm blessed to announce that the University of Akron has offered me a scholarship along with 15 other schools.
Look at what you're
doing. And I'm not even going.
Sending right now. You're crapping on some kid getting an opportunity to get a four-year education at Akron, which is a fine school, by the way.
I'm not crapping on the institution.
There's sour grapes here. What's the deal, man? Where's this coming from?
No, it's not. I feel like if you're announcing that you're going to the school, I like that. Like, yes, okay. I got an offer from Alabama, and I'm taking it. And I'm going to go crack some heads, and I'm going to be a first-round draft pick. Let's go, bro. I'm excited for you. But, like, do we have to see 50, I might be going to this school, and they offer me a lot of money?
Actually, I think this is a straw man argument. I don't think I've ever seen somebody announce, hey, I got offers. That's the end of press conference.
I don't think
I've ever seen that ever. It's
no, kids are not, like, no, it's on the timeline all the time. Like, go on there. It's kids saying, I've received an offer from X school. They're not saying they're actually going.
Hold up. So they're just saying it on social media? Like, they're
saying, I'm blessed to announce that I have an offer from X school.
Yeah, Tony, what he's saying does happen. That's not the confusing part. I'm confused why he hates on it so much, why he's got such a problem with it.
But like, do we have to, I thought I was going to have support here. Apparently I don't, but
yeah, I mean, no. I think
you're hating on teenage kids that are celebrating getting an invitation to come to college and get an education and play football.
And also now that, you know, the NIL is in charge, it's like, hey, up the price. This is what they offer.
Price up of the brick price. Going up.
Yeah. The price of the brick going up.
Hey, listen, once you get that first SEC offer, you're in the six-figure range.
Yes, yeah. You are. Even if you're at Mississippi State, you're going to make
now, some money. Even more, I think it's beneficial that they announce who's offering them what.
That's not how it works. You're not understanding. Schools aren't offering them money. That's not how it's.
Oh, no, I mean.
You don't get your offer.
I told that story about the booster on here.
Yes, but not in the way that Tony is describing it.
I think
is kind of making somewhere in what he said was actually a decent point. That doesn't the high school kid drive up more interest and competition to get them by
if you're announcing ESPN, what offers that they got?
If someone announces, hey, Ole Miss offered me, doesn't that get
offered? No, you're an ESPN top 300 recruit. It's going to be on every recruiting service out there. So you don't have to like.
Yeah. And then you narrow down your list and say, hey, I'm going to the other school in your conference. What are you going to do about it?
Exactly.
Every school knows who got offered where.
Yeah, no, it's not about the amount of schools that's offering the prospect scholarship, especially in this new age of, you know, money being passed around. It's the announcement. I think it works two ways. One, obviously people, we like attention now. Anything that gets me attention, that's what I'm going to do. I think that's a big part of this.
Especially positive attention. Yes.
Right. Two, it helps out their local high school program, their high school coach, because like, hey, young high school prospect, come to my school. I'm the kid I coach is getting all these offers. I think it works well for him. But also, I truly think now it's, hey, I'm look at the offers that I'm getting other school or NBA franchise or like eight or whatever. Like
school I actually want to get an offer from.
Like, yeah, like now that there's money involved, I think there's a lot that goes into announcing that I have multiple offers from multiple schools. Let the bidding begin.
Russ, you look deflated. You wanted us to agree with you. Realizing their dreams.
I thought y'all was going to be on my side, but apparently y'all not. Nope. So
don't celebrate, kids. Act like you've been there before. Act like you've already gotten scholarship offers from Akron.
Yeah. You know what make you feel better, though?
What? Incorrect, Tony. I feel worse.
Now it's time for a Chicago Bears segment we call.
This is fine. I'm okay with the events that are unfolding currently.
Everything's fine.
That's okay. Things are going to be okay.
He's just dancing to circus music. Russ, you aren't going to feel better when I read this because that never happens. When it
absolutely not.
Called everything's fine, and it always kind of actually means everything's not that fine. Akeem Hicks He's had a very strange preseason and offseason. He wants a contract extension. Mm-hmm. He's in the last season of a 4-year, $48 million deal. It has been well worth it, by the way. He's been excellent as a Chicago Bear. Better than he's been anywhere else. He's been fantastic at defensive tackle, run stopper, pass rusher. Almost 32 years old, though. I don't think the Bears are really eager to extend him, especially at defensive tackle. Him wanting a contract extension and not getting it, that's not the strange part. The strange part is he had an incident where he came out to practice late. He left the practice after only a few minutes, really inexplicably. It was never clarified what was going on. And on top of that, Russ, he's normally one of the most engaging Bears players when it comes to the media and has not talked to the media at all during all of this. I don't think there's an issue between him and the media, but he's not talking either way. And the part where everything's fine, don't worry, everything's fine, is here's what Matt Nagy had to say about trying to explain why he's not trying to convince or make Akeem Hicks talk to the media. Again, it's everybody is a little bit different. I mean, you guys see how I am. You talk about how he is, and I don't want to get into anybody's individual decisions other than I just think that for me, I deal with the media and doing interviews and talking, and everybody's a little bit different. So I understand from both sides. So I think there's that's a hard answer for me to give.
What does that mean? Please tell me you followed up, sir.
There was a follow up, and then it was a follow up of like, well, you know, what are you doing? Isn't that his professional responsibility? And essentially, aren't you kind of his boss? Doesn't seem to be exactly how that relationship works. He said that quote sounded like Derek Zoolander. Are you guys old enough to have seen Derek Zoolander when he goes on the speech to the journalist about investigatory journalism? No matter how many lives you trample or friends you lose along the way, just to get your story, no matter how many lives you trample or friends you lose along the way. And he just kind of keeps going in a circle like that, saying the same line over and over. That's kind of what it sounds like sometimes. Russ, let's shift from you hating on high school kids getting scholarship offers that could change their lives. The whole segment is basically old man Russ is mad at the young people.
I literally started by saying, I'm really happy that these kids are getting these offers.
Then you weren't. Everything you said after that indicated very much that you weren't.
I said, I just wanted to find out when you're actually going to the school. Like, I want to find out that you might be going to the school. Like, tell me, yes, you're going to the University of Texas and you're going to kick ass at quarterback. Like, I don't want to hear I might be going to the University of Washington because they might give me enough money to convince me to go there.
All of that stuff is how people tweet now, man. It's all not right, how man. I tweet because right, I'm man. 37 years old, but that's how that's
I'll let it go. I'll let it go because y'all making tweets. It sound like I'm
LeBron tweets like thinking about doing this, and that's no different than these guys.
Look, y'all making me sound like I'm the hater in the room. So you are. I'll give it up.
No, you are a hater. And now the other thing that you mentioned to me that you wanted to hate on today was sneezing. So that's what really eats my lunch. Sneezing. So what is it? Young people sneezing? Like, who are you mad at here about sneezing, Russ?
I don't think adults should sneeze in their hands.
In their bare and hands. Like if you have a sneeze,
yes, bring it with your bare hands. If you have a sneeze, the right thing to do is to easily put your elbow up and sneeze into your elbow. But we still have people at like 40, 50, 60, 70 years old in the middle of a pandemic, might I add, sneezing into their hands.
Right.
And acting like, it's fine. It's like a tissue.
But sneezing into your shirt. Is gross too. Sneezing into your elbow, you're going to sneeze all that onto your
whose hand are you going to shake? You're not shaking hands with your elbow. Well, you're going to touch anymore. You're going to touch everything with your hands.
I don't get like an advance warning that a sneeze is coming in 10 minutes in advance. It usually comes and it comes quick and violently. It's sometimes I got to throw my hand up and
No. I'll let you get the high school kids thing. I'm not letting you get this one. No, you stop sneezing into your hands. You are adult. Sneeze into your elbow.
It's an instinct. It's a panic. You just gotta like. You know what I do? That let me see what you think about this. Because I think what I normally do, if it's not an emergency sneeze, I sneeze a lot, man. I've always sneezed a lot. I have that thing that makes me sneeze when I go from shade into sunlight. and I sneeze if I get a weird smell a lot of times, and I sneeze very violently. It's a very like loud, forceful sneeze. So I think any way that I stop that is good for everybody else. But a lot of times what I do is I actually will pull my shirt up and sneeze into my shirt.
I'm more cool. I'm cool with that. Like, I've been annoyed during the pandemic. Like, I've seen somebody who, like, when you have this one of those sneezes, pull the mask.
You're getting a warning there.
Pull the mask down.
Oh, no.
And then sneeze, not covering it. You had the mask on, bro. Like,
mask is perfect, right? You can sneeze right in.
Yes, you can sneeze and do your thing. Like, keep going. But, like, my gosh, it's stop sneezing into your hands.
Okay. Anything else that you want to yell about?
No, that's it. That gets me like irately angry. People sneezing in their hands and then touching other people, touching things. Like, stop. Oh my God. All right. This leads me into my a topic we like to call Ask an Old Person.
And now it's time for Ask an Old Person.
How many times do we have to teach you this lesson, old man?
I love the young people.
I've gotten quite angry. I didn't expect myself to go here, but like thinking about it bothers me because I saw somebody sneeze in their hands tonight and it pissed me off.
I sneezed in my hands tonight at dinner and I was eating rice as part of the dinner. And so I feel like if I hadn't gotten that up there, man, it would have just sprayed everywhere. And at least
like as quickly as you can,
I can wash my hands. You're ruling out the fact that people can just wash their hands.
Nobody does that. Like nobody does that. Nobody is sneezing into their hand and washing it. No, people are pissing and not washing their hands. People are pissing and not washing their hands, so they're not going to sneeze in their hands and wash their hands either. Come on now, this nasty ass country that we live in. Stop it. That's why we're still in a pandemic. Oh my God! Now that I'm off my soapbox, let's get an Ask an Old Person.
Yes,
you and Tony and all the listeners have heard it. I've gotten irately angry about people sneezing in their hands. So what I want to ask about you:
high school kids enjoying their lives.
Stop it! Stop it! I wasn't angry about that.
Sure,
I was a little annoyed by that.
Are they allowed to have birthday parties, Russ?
Yes, okay. Jason.
All right,
yes.
Well, good. At least there's some reason with you.
I was a little annoyed by that. I was irately angry about the sneezing in the hands. So I'm asking old person, I want to ask you, what's the last thing that you've gotten irately angry about?
Post-Trump?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, non-Trump
category. Yeah, sure.
Yes.
Okay. It was just the other night. I was at my mom's house. And with my family, and we were there late on Saturday night coming home. And at the toll exit in our town, I've been driving for 20 years and never seen this before. They had set up, the police had just camped out. I think it was the state police, and just camped out at the toll booth. And everybody that was coming through was being told you had to pull over and get checked. And I assume it's for DUIs. I assume it's a DUI checkpoint, but they didn't ever say that. They said it's a road safety check. I don't know why they'd be doing, checking your tire pressure or whatever at 11:30 on a Saturday night. I'm sure it was definitely for DUIs. But I'm just out here obeying the law, driving like a normal person, stone cold sober, hadn't had a drink all day. It's 11:30 at night. I'm trying to drive my kids home and put them to bed. I think I should just be able to go free and not have to pull over at the toll booth. That made me irate.
Welcome to be a black person, Jason. That's going to do it for Asking the Old Person this week on Sports Adjacent.
Yeah, I'll tell you what time it is. It's Lil Uzi Vert time. Is it Lil Uzi Vert or Lil Uzi? Because I've heard, are those different people or is it the same guy and he changed his name?
You can just say Uzi.
It's all the same guy. Uzi, Lil Uzi, and Lil Uzi Vert is all the same guy.
Yes.
Yeah. Because there's like Lil Baby and Da Baby, and there's like I just want to make sure I have it straight.
Yes, you're okay. Good. You could say all three of those and you'd be correct.
So if you say it fast, the whole name, it sounds like Lil Lucifer.
Well, okay, Tone, that might actually, you know, I did a little bit of research on Lil Uzi Vert, and that might actually fit with some of how he goes about life. But the reason that he came across my screen today and got on my radar is there was quite a story. Did you know, for starters, that he had a $24 million diamond implanted in his forehead? Is that just common knowledge? Everybody knew that but me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So Lil Uzi Vert had a $24 million pink diamond implanted in his forehead, which that's hardcore, man. He did that in February, and then it got ripped out by fans at Rolling Loud in Miami, I believe it was last month, because he was crowd surfing. And somebody just reached up and plucked that thing out of his front of his
skull. I'm surprised that nobody had ripped it out sooner than that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem particularly safe running around with a $24 million diamond on your head. But he was okay, and he got the diamond back. So that's good. He found the diamond, and he's replaced it already with some other piercing. You know, he actually I went deep dive into Lil Uzi Vert to learn about him and some of his decision-making. He got this diamond implanted in his forehead in February, and then before Rolling Loud, got it taken out. And then got it put back in. It's quite a thing to be wishy-washy about having a diamond implanted in the front of your forehead. In, out, in, out, in, out. It doesn't seem very safe. I think you got to, if you're talking about implanting a stone into your face, I think you got to be more decisive than that.
Well, I think when you initially got it, people were telling like how unhealthy that was and how dangerous it could be. Like at one point it was bleeding out of
he like tweeted out a picture of himself, I think, after he got it done. And by the way, I'd love if we could, Tony, if you could book the doctor who did that surgery on the show. I think that'd be fascinating. Yes, he tweeted a picture with blood running down his face and saying, if this comes out the wrong way, I might die. Yeah, go ahead.
Soak that all in, Russ.
Oh, I thought you had more information here about Lil Uzi Vert that you were going
to
share.
Oh, no. This is like to be expected. He's a different – he's a rock star, as he would like to be known as. He's going to do those outlandish things. But, yeah, he made some solid music. Every time he drops an album, it goes number one for what it was. So he certainly has the ears of the youth.
That's one of the things I learned about him in my quest for knowledge on Lil Uzi Vert started where it always does, which is Wikipedia. And I originally landed with just Uzi. If you see, you guys said I can just call him Uzi, but if you type that into Wikipedia, you get the 1940s Israeli submachine gun. And that's not the same thing, although I'm sure that he took that into account when he named himself. But you learn that he's extremely successful. His debut album was double platinum. His 2020 album was platinum, pretty good. And then even more impressive than any of that, he claims to have just a couple of months ago bought a planet.
Did not know that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Listen, man, when you get money, you can do anything you want. Like we don't talk enough about how wild it is to get a $24 million diamond implanted in your forehead and how ridiculous that is, but he a rapper and he get money, so we like let it go.
Well, you know, I will say it seems like if you were so unsure about getting a diamond surgically implanted in your forehead that you got it taken out a few months later and then got it put back in, that maybe you should have held off on this and maybe consulted some people. And maybe that's not the most responsible decision making. But I will say, to his credit, he talked about saving the money and paying this off. So, I mean, financially, it was very responsible, Russ. He went about it the right way. He went about it much in the same way that I'm paying off my house.
Are we wrapping up?
Yeah, we are. You wouldn't think that we missed anything today, but we actually did. There's quite a bit of other news here that we have from our news service that we need to just hit real quick.
I'm interested to hear.
Before we get out. Paul Pierce is in the news again. You'll remember we discussed ESPN firing him back in April, Russ.
Yes.
It turns out that video of him smoking weed with strippers while they, you taught me this phrase, made it clap, was the last straw toward an inevitable divorce between Paul Pierce and ESPN. ESPN executives criticized his work ethic, and for his part, Paul Pierce sounded like he hated that job anyway because, quote unquote, among other things, you have to talk about LeBron all the time. He also did not want to apologize for the video, which is fine. I don't think he should. He wasn't doing anything illegal.
No.
And he does not think it will affect his chances with the Hall of Fame voters.
Agreed. I think that's fine. I don't. Paul Pierce was not necessarily a fit for ESPN. And he's one of the best. Like, we laugh because of his basketball takes because he don't like LeBron. But, no, he's one of the best basketball players of all time. Sure. He'll get in the Hall. And Tony's like Tony says all the time, everybody gets into the Hall of Fame in basketball.
Yeah, I'm steaming right now at Tony because Tony knows that I emailed him a quote for a reading segment that he was supposed to go to right there.
Well, Russ got in there. And
well, you see me pointing at the camera? Like, Russ doesn't know that I emailed you that.
First of all, stop emailing Tony.
You didn't hear me start talking about Paul Pierce like 2 minutes ago and think, the Paul Pierce email he sent me.
I didn't want to disrespect your fellow co-host who had a...
Do the reading. I want Russ to hear the quote.
All right.
Do I have to hear the quote?
Oh, you're going to like it.
And now...
No, you'll like it.
Tony Gill reads.
All right, guys.
You don't get to do that this time. You've already screwed this up 8 different ways. Just
see, no. You have to sit there and take it.
And now, Tony Gill reads.
That's what you get. Stop emailing him things.
All right, guys.
It's such a simple thing for him to do. Like, it's not asking that much.
Tony Gill glasses. Back at it again. Let's go.
No plan B on Tony. Because you messed it up the first 2 times now.
All right, Paul Pierce to Sports Illustrated. Come on, I didn't do anything illegal. These motherfuckers in the Hall of Fame, some did cocaine, battery. What the did I do? I was just having a good time. All the people coming after me, half you motherfuckers didn't do the same. You're just hiding it. And you're all married while you're doing it. I'm divorced. I'm retired. I'm having fun. Listen, if I don't make it with this class, it will be the biggest stiff job in Hall of Fame history.
Pretty good quote, Tone. Imagine if you had read that on time. Russ, Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly joked after a 41-38 overtime win against Florida State that he is in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight. You saw this in the postgame, I assume. He was bungling an old quote from the 1970s from the old Tampa Bay Bucks coach, John McKay. Not a particularly funny joke. I don't find it offensive most of the time when somebody jokes because I know that they're joking. They're not really advocating for whatever the thing is they're making a joke about. The real crime to me here is that the joke was completely unfunny and delivered poorly. He's like just sitting there like waiting to give that quote, no matter what was her name? Katie George, the reporter, asked him, and it didn't really even make sense.
Bad all the way around.
I agree. I have some baseball news for you, Russ. It's from 1995, though, if that's okay.
I think we're a couple years behind, but okay, I'm willing to listen.
I think you're going to like this. In the 1995 season, Tony, do you know you don't like baseball very much, or at least you don't really follow it? Mm-hmm. And we've already covered that you were not able to play baseball as a kid. Do you know who Tony Gwynn is?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
What team was he on, Tone?
The Mets.
All right, good try.
All right, let's move on.
So, Russ, the other day I was spending my morning nice and peacefully just reading through Tony Gwynn's baseball reference page.
Which is amazing, by the way.
Yeah, you know, which any person would be doing on a nice, pleasant morning to themselves. In the 1995 season, when Tony Gwynn led the league in hitting with a .368 average, he had 577 plate appearances. He struck out 15 times that season.
One of the all-time greats, one Tony Gwynn.
All-time great.
No, Tony.
No. There's a great quote about, I'm not giving Tony any more reading segments right now. I'll read you the quote. Do you remember Greg Maddux, the amazing pitcher? Greg Maddux was talking about, and Greg Maddux got everybody out except Tony Gwynn. He was talking about how you don't need to throw hard, but being able to change speeds and control where the pitch goes is the key to everything, which makes sense that Greg Maddux would say that. That's the type of pitcher he was. A quote that he had that I thought was great. He goes on and on about how, you know, hitters have trouble picking up the changes in speed. And he said, if a pitcher can change speeds, every hitter is helpless because they're limited by human vision. Except that Tony Gwynn. Russ, are you familiar with the artist Banksy?
I am not.
You don't know who that is? Oh, okay. It's really interesting. And there's at least one documentary about this guy that you should watch. He does a lot of his art kind of on the street. He'll do graffiti art, or he'll even do, like, I don't even know if this is the right way to say it, but like graffiti sculptures. Like he'll take a jackhammer and dig up a sidewalk and sculpt it into like a sphinx. And he's very mysterious. Nobody knows who he is. But one of his things was in 2018, he had a painting that was up for auction, and it was in a frame. And the moment the deal was done for the person to buy this for $1.4 million, the painting went halfway through a paper shredder that was built into the frame. So this is now a frame with the painting, half of it out of the bottom of the frame, like in strips, still connected, and the other half of it in the frame. It was like, you know, a statement he was trying to make or something. So you'd think that would ruin it, right? That in 2018, that sold for $1.4 million. It's going up for auction next month with an expected selling price of $5 to $8
million. I'm in the wrong business.
You are. You should become a street artist. And finally, Russ, as if poor Joe Biden isn't already busy enough with Afghanistan, the pandemic, and whatever fresh hell awaits this country tomorrow, his dog has a biting problem. And it sounds like they were trying to cover it up. The conservative group Judicial Watch obtained emails from the Secret Service. And this is really what you should be using the Freedom of Information Act for, I think. This is excellent use of it, showing emails that that indicated that his German Shepherd Major bit an agent every day for a week in March. A different agent, I think. It wasn't the same guy every day for a week. The White House had originally described this as a, quote, a couple of nipping incidents. It sounds like it was every single day. And it's very clear that this dog has been banned from the White House, although the White House is denying that. They're saying he's spending some time in Delaware back at the family home because he's just a little more comfortable there. But I think we all know you can't be having a dog running around biting people at the White House. But that kind of leads to my thought here of, why does the president have a dog anyway? What does the president need a dog for? Almost every president in history has had a dog. And as someone that has two dogs, like, I think if I was president, I would not have time to be running the equivalent of a petting zoo on the side. Feeding dogs, walking dogs, making sure they don't bite people, you know, throwing a tennis ball for them. Like, I think the president has too much to do to have animals in the house.
I was going to say, I think at that point, as the president, you're not doing none of that stuff no more. You got eight people that are taking care of that dog. That dog is living the high life while you're running the country. So that sucks for that dog because they screwed up a good living biting people.
Yes.
So now you just got to chill at the house and like die.
Yeah. Don't be biting people. I was starting to look up like presidents and the pets that they had. And I came across Calvin Coolidge. He played for the Mets too, Tony. Calvin Coolidge had a million pets. And so there must have been nothing going on in the country from 1923 to 1929 because he had a ton of dogs, but also, Russ, he had a raccoon and then got a second raccoon because the first raccoon was a female raccoon and it needed a companion. He had a donkey. He had canaries, a songbird, a goose, a bobcat. And then some of these he received as gifts from other countries and did not keep in the White House, kind of directed them to zoos and stuff. So that's a little more reasonable. Lion cubs, a pygmy hippopotamus, a wallaby, a duiker, I think this is pronounced. And it's a small type of antelope, a black bear, and 13 ducklings. They did not send the ducklings to a zoo. His wife, the first lady, tried to raise these 13 ducklings and care for them in one of the White House bathrooms, but it did not work out and they did have to send them to a zoo.
I feel like he only became president just so he can acquire animals.
It seems that way. It seems that way. That's the smartest thing you've said on this show, Tone.
That's going to do it for this week's episode of Sports Adjacent. We covered a lot today. We covered everything from meat peaks to White name House pets. Right there. No, that's definitely the name of this episode is Meat Peak. And yeah, we appreciate everybody out there for listening. If you would like to listen to this podcast, please be sure to download, subscribe, give us 5 stars, whether it's Apple Music, Spotify, Twitcher, wherever you find your audio content. Make sure you do that. This podcast, as always, is brought to you by Obvious Shirts, obviousshirts.com. Get our collection on there. Get 10% off using promo code adjacent10 for 10% off and free shipping. If you would like to contact us right there, if you're watching your clip, our Twitter handles are up there. Also, there was something else that I was going to say. Yeah, if you'd like to email the podcast, there you go. Email us at sportsadjacent@gmail.com. Very easy to remember. For Jason,
let's clarify there. What do you want people to email? You want them to email like thoughts on the show, weird questions,
comments, concerns, okay. Weird right. comments.
I like the idea. I just want to give them a little more direction of what we're looking for.
No, look, whatever floats their boat, we're not gonna read all of them on air, but if they're interesting, we will.
No meat picks, please.
Please, no meat picks. I don't play that, bro. No meat picks. That's going to do it for this episode of Sports Adjacent. For Jason Leisure, Tony Gill, I'm Russ Dorsey, and we will see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Sports Adjacent with Jason Leisure and Russell Dorsey. Be sure to download, subscribe, and give the podcast 5 stars. You can check out the latest episode of Sports Adjacent on all digital streaming platforms.
I'm very much adjacent. For a couple hours, I thought I was hood. But then all that happened, I was like, you know what, James? You adjacent to the mother.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.